This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique handbag brand, Andy, and this is why I switched to Shopify. I tried three other platforms prior to Shopify, and I remember my breaking point was when I would try to make one little change and my entire site would go down. With the drag and drop theme editor, we don't need to hire a developer to do any coding. Each theme is automatically optimized on mobile. It's incredible.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Go to shopify.com/listen to take your business to the next level today.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How's it going?
Very good, Bryce. How many N's on that, Ren?
Quite a few.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited for this episode. We've got another industry deep dive. We're going to be deep diving on an industry that neither of us really have a lot of lived experience with. If we follow Peter Lynch's idea of investing in what you know, this is not an industry we'd be investing in. You're closer to it than I am.
How?
Well, you're closer to having kids.
True.
Oh, he's finally admitted it.
I am closer.
Okay, that's fair. So today we're going to be talking about the IVF industry.
Fertility, yeah.
Fertility. In vitro fertilization is what IVF stands for. It's been requested by a number of listeners, but we've kind of resisted because it's not something that we know a lot about, but we figured we would do our best. So we want to caveat that at the start, that this is definitely not a complete industry deep dive, but we're going to give it our best shot. Before we do, a bit of housekeeping.
Yes, we're excited to announce that we are going to be part of the inaugural podcast festival down in Melbourne. Nice that Melbourne are putting one on for podcasters around Australia. We will provide more details, but pencil in a live show that we'll be doing in Prahran. Prahran?
Prahran? I lived in Melbourne.
Yeah, whatever. The suburb down there, Prahran. It is the 1st of August, Sunday, the 1st of August, around 4 p.m. We'll be providing more details, but Melbourne, we hear you. We're sick and tired of doing events just here in Sydney, so we are very excited to be coming down. Tickets will be limited. We will let you know about how to buy them, where to buy them, the price, etc. In due course, but pencil in Sunday, the 1st of August, 4 p.m.
Yeah, we know it's a Sunday, so
there will be beers.
People may not be able to stick around for too many beers afterwards, but it would be great to see everyone. It'd be great to have a beer with a few people. Bryce has given me the Monday off, so I'll be having a few beers.
That's true.
But yeah, come out, say hi.
Yep.
We'll announce more information about what we're going to do. But yeah, Melbourne Podcast Festival, get around it.
Nice. All right, well, let's get stuck in. So let's start with some establishing facts. There is no doubt that, unfortunately, it seems that it's becoming more and more difficult for couples to be having kids.
Yep.
Over in the States, the stats are that 1 in 8 couples struggle to conceive. Unfortunately, here in Australia, the Fertility Society of Australia estimate that 1 in 6 couples of reproductive age suffer from infertility, yet only around 50% actually seek medical advice.
And I think, you know, we know anecdotally a lot of the reasons why that's happening. People are getting married or forming partnerships later in life, trying to have kids later in life. People are working more, working longer, prioritizing careers. There's also a number of lifestyle factors that are just leading to a lower fertility rate. I was actually looking at a stat. There's a graph that Statia, is that the website?
Is it Statista?
Statista, that sounds a lot better. They have the Australian fertility rate from 1800 to today. In 1800, the average couple had 6.7 kids, and today it's 1.8.
Yeah, well, as you said, many factors going into that. Yeah. But yeah, it is, it's interesting. So a number of factors as well. Globally, the quality of sperm is declining, with one out of three men aged over 40 presenting with sperm fertility issues, and half have failed infertility cases have more sperm as an important contributing... Poor sperm, not more. Poor sperm as an important contributing factor.
Yeah. So, according to the pharmaceutical company Merck, who have invested quite heavily in this industry... infertility, like, it has a range of causes. One third male issues, one third of female issues, and then the final third are a combination or unexplained. So there's a number of contributing factors here, but the long and the short of it is fertility rates are declining, and medical science, I guess, is really trying to step up and solve some of these problems and help couples get pregnant. And there's this whole industry that's been created around it, the fertility industry, and in particular, IVF. And there are a number of listed companies that are now participating in that industry. And we're going to sort of break down what the industry is, what are the trends, and then talk about some of the companies that are trying to help couples solve this problem, because there are some investing opportunities out there if it's an industry you're interested in.
Yeah, well, investors are starting to inject a large amount of cash into the industry. So let's start at the top and break down what IVF actually is. In vitro means in glass, and in vitro fertilization is the process of fertilization where an egg is combined with sperm outside the body. So the first child was successfully born after her mother received IVF, and her name was Louise Brown in 1978.
Yeah.
In 2018, it was estimated that 8 million children worldwide have been born using IVF.
So just pause on that for a second. What's that, 40 years?
Yeah.
Have I done that maths right?
Nah, about that.
Yeah. 40 years from the very first child ever being born using IVF to 8 million children worldwide born using IVF. Like, it is an industry that has really come not out of nowhere, but it is grown incredibly quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in some European countries, 2% of babies born are due to IVF. So that's about 1 in 50. If we move across to America, that number is 1 in 60, according to The Economist. And in 2017, Australia and New Zealand assisted reproduction database found that 1 in 25 babies in Australia is born as a result of IVF, and a total of 15,613 babies were born using this method in 2018. So,
yeah, it's Australia over-indexes compared to Europe and America in terms of the number of children conceived with IVF. Here's a question for you, though. What's the number one country in the world? There's one country that over-indexes Australia that is meaningfully higher than any of those
in terms numbers. Of babies born using IVF?
Yeah, babies as a percentage of total babies born using IVF.
Canada.
No.
I don't know why I guess Canada. I have no idea.
Denmark, 1 in 10, 10% of babies were born using IVF.
Wow.
Yeah, well, are born using IVF.
Wow. IVF is just one form of assisted reproductive technology, however, but we're going to kind of be focusing on this from an industry point of view today.
Yeah, in terms of the investment opportunities, they're all sort of blended. Like, if you're a fertility clinic, you're going to be exposed to IVF and the other treatments. So that's sort of, I guess, a little bit about the history and where we're at. In 40 years, we've gone from the very first child being born to a meaningfully sized industry and a meaningful percentage of children being conceived using IVF. So if we get into some of the numbers, in Australia, one IVF cycle costs between $9,000 and $15,000. So it's not cheap. And success rates aren't as high as you'd hope they would be, sort of less than 50%. But I mean, look, for a lot of these people, it's, you know, for the people that are successful, it's generally success that wouldn't have come naturally. So, like, it is a pretty miraculous thing that science has been able to do. the person, the doctor that did the first IVF child won the Nobel Prize.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Really sad story. There were three doctors, a surgeon, a doctor, and a nurse. The doctor won the Nobel Prize. The surgeon and the nurse had died.
Oh.
And so, because the Nobel Prize isn't awarded after death, they didn't get it. But yeah, like massive medical breakthrough that we're talking about here. And I think that's pretty important when we start talking about like the industry and investing in it and companies. It's like just keep in the back of your mind that regardless of the financials, like, it's pretty miraculous.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of industry, we're going to take a look at the size and a few other stats that are important from an investing point of view. But before we do, we'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Ren, at an industry level, globally, we're looking at $14.2 billion in 2020. That's up just shy of $2 billion in the last sort of 2 years. In 2018, it was worth $12.5 billion. One projection expects it to reach almost $34 billion by 2028. So, if I do the quick maths on that, that's a cost. That's a compound annual growth rate of 6.5% over the next 7 years.
Yeah,
you wouldn't shy away from that.
You wouldn't.
A second projection though has it at about $36.5 billion USD by 2026, and that is a compound growth rate of 10%. So, varying growth rate projections here, but nonetheless, it's an industry that have some pretty strong growth behind it.
Yeah, so that's globally. And right now, Europe is the leader in terms of market share, I guess, well, where most IVF happens. That's as it is now. But the Asia Pacific is expected to leapfrog Europe and in the late 2020s be about half the market. So right now, the Asia Pacific region is worth about $7 billion and it's projected to be about $20 billion by 2029. So
wow,
meaningful growth there. I think in some ways that number is tied to expectations around health tourism.
Yep.
And then in Australia, 2018, it was a $709 million industry and it's projected to be about $1 billion by 2026. So, compound annual growth rate of 4.5%. I mean, there are faster growing industries.
Absolutely.
But it is growing, I think. But I think what's interesting here is not so much the overall industry growth, because that's tied to a number of population factors around, you know, fertility rates, people's desire to have babies, stuff like that. Like, you're not going to see a hockey stick exponential curve in some of those demographic questions that would really drive this industry. But what's really interesting in this industry is what's happening within it, like improvements in medical technology that are improving pregnancy rates and birth rates, things that are making patients' lives better ways to separate sperm, eggs, all that stuff. And we're seeing a lot of venture capital money flow into the space as a result of people trying to make the industry better or improve technology. PitchBook, which looks at venture capital investments, recorded $178 million in VC invested in fertility product businesses or fertility science businesses in 2017 alone.
Yeah, wow.
So a lot of venture capital money flowing into the space. So that's a notable trend to keep watching, because there will likely be more companies than we talk about now listing or getting taken over by listed companies in the coming years.
Mm. So let's start to have a look at some of the trends that are unfolding in and themes in the industry. We mentioned at the start that only sort of 50% of couples seek treatment, and that I would assume most likely because of the price.
Yeah.
So the first sort of theme that's unfolding is that there's a massive underserved market here, and Money Magazine have suggested that as the industry consolidates, obviously economies of scale get stronger, and as such, IVF becomes cheaper, which really means that there is potential to really increase the penetration of IVF and, you know, double the number of cycles that are performed in Australia each year. So that's only a good thing.
Yeah. So that's the world as it is now. There's 50% of couples that could be getting help that currently aren't. On top of that, there's expectations that the market, the total addressable market, will grow over the coming years as people wait longer to have kids. So we touched on the total fertility rate before and how it's dropped meaningfully, you know, I said from 1800 to now, but even from 1960 to now, 3.41 in 1960 to 1.83 in 2020 in Australia. So people are having less kids. Globally, the same thing's happening, although not as stark. Between 2008 and 2018, the global fertility rate dropped from 2.56 to 2.42, and it's expected to continue. So a lot of those, I guess, macro factors that are driving people to have kids later, no one expects them to abate. You know, the shift from a rural to urban society, increased participation in the labour force, postponement of marriage, lower marriage rates, all that stuff, people expect to continue. And the second order effect of that to be increased demand for IVF services.
Mm. We're seeing increased insurance coverage in the industry, which is driving down prices as insurance companies negotiate and increase the usage.
So the next trend, or I guess theme to keep an eye on, is that there's a lot of companies that are developing new forms of genomic testing and companies really investing in that to give parents more information and doctors more information, and people expect that to continue to drive uptake in the market.
So, Ren, as you already alluded to as well, that there's a bunch of private equity moving in. So let's have a look at some of the large players. A company over in the United States, a big private equity firm called Lee Equity Partners, brought into an Atlanta fertility clinic with plans to launch a $200 million network called Prelude Fertility. So sort of big money going in there. TA Associates, a global PE firm, bought into the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine. Another private equity firm called MTS Health Investors over in New York, again, created Ovation Fertility Chain. And then the Extended Fertility, which says it's the first practice in the US dedicated solely to freezing eggs, opened in Manhattan a year and a half ago. It's backed by New York private equity firm North Peak Capital. So plenty of other examples, but it's clear that there is now a lot of cash flowing into this space.
Yeah. If you take a step back, and I mean, we'll get to companies later, but what you'll find is that a lot of, especially in the US, not so much in Australia, and actually the US and Europe, a lot of these companies aren't publicly listed. It's not like you have big fertility conglomerates that roll up a whole bunch of fertility clinics and then list. Instead, it's a lot more private clinics or tied to hospitals and like other healthcare providers that are non-listed, and private equity, as they always do, sniff out an opportunity and they're saying, there's an opportunity to roll up a whole bunch of these clinics. We expect the market to grow and we're going to try and get in there first. And so you just rip through, what, four examples of private equity firms that are moving heavily into the sector. But that's really the industry dynamic at the moment, that it feels like it's still early days in some respects for the industry. And so private equity see an opportunity to achieve economies of scale and really take a foothold in the industry.
Absolutely. And Ren, which this is a great one, we're continuing to see medical breakthroughs in the space. In June 2018, an Aussie scientist developed an artificial intelligence tool called Ivy for the identification of an embryo with the best chance of pregnancy. And I mean, the only thing is that such technologies help to increase the success rate of IVF pregnancies.
Yeah, included this one just because we've got to celebrate Australian scientists.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they get enough credit. You know, like we invented Wi-Fi.
CSIRO.
CSIRO invented that membrane around hydrogen. You know, we're doing stuff. We're just doing so much, and
Well, how many scientific journals are you reading? They could be getting credit where credit's due.
Well, I don't think the scientific journals are where they should be getting credit. I think it should be front page of the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, a lot of things should be front page of the Daily Telegraph.
And then one more, I think, trend or theme to keep an eye on is that... So, we mentioned that insurance companies are embracing it more... like company plans, insurance plans in the US are embracing this. But companies like Google, Apple, Facebook are now offering like benefits to their employees, to, like freeze their eggs, freeze their sperm, stuff like that. So, I mean, cynically, you could say that it's because these companies want men and women to work longer and not drop out of the workforce to have kids. And I think there would be a lot of truth to that cynicism. Allegedly, reportedly, my own opinion. But it's also, it is good that they are offering these benefits to couples that want them. It's better than just creating an expectation that you work and then people finding out they're too late.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, before we rip into some of the risks as well as companies and key players in the industry and how you might be able to invest, we'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. So, with all investments, Ren, we need to talk about the risks.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly relevant for the IVF industry or the fertility industry because, you know, we've spoken about how it's this medical breakthrough. We've spoken about how it's grown and now it's a meaningful percentage of pregnancies and babies born across, you know, most continents, especially the major, like, Western countries. We've spoken about how there are all these trends and, you know, continued medical breakthroughs that seem to indicate that the industry will grow. But none of that means it will be a good investment. And I think it's really important to stress there's a big question with all of this around, is this industry scalable? Is this treatment scalable? Is this industry investable? Because when you start to have fertility clinics at scale and when you start to operate them like a private equity run business where you're just optimizing for cash flow, you start to have some pretty adverse outcomes. So the ABC in Australia did a big report on the IVF industry and they were speaking about how patients felt like they were just a number and that they weren't given great care and that a lot of them had to go to independent clinics or like different clinics to actually get underlying reasons for infertility actually identified and diagnosed and treated. So, this is for me is just a really important caveat for this industry, but also for a lot of industries. Like, there can be great industries, they can be doing amazing things, they can be helping a lot of people, there can be money in the industry, but it may not make sense to invest in like a scaled, listed business that's operating in that industry. And for me, that is a big question here. Like, does the biggest player win in this industry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you the answer to that.
Well, no one can.
Yeah. So, let's take a look at some of the companies and key players. We'll start domestically and we're talking listed at this stage. So, Aussie listed companies, you've got Virtus Health. The ASX ticker is VRT. I'm hoping I pronounced that right.
VRT, yeah. You got VRT right.
VRT, thank you. They're the world's first IVF provider to go public. They're the largest IVF provider here in Australia with 43 fertility clinics. Australia has 36 of those. They have one over in the UK, three in Ireland, one in Singapore, and a couple in Denmark, which you'd expect they might have a few more given the numbers over there.
Well... maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future, yeah. the second one, Ren, is Monash IVF Group, ASX ticker MVF. They've got 27 clinics and three service centres, Australia, Malaysia, and they also have plans for more Southeast Asian expansion.
Yeah, so if we pause there, they're the two, I guess, like pure play IVF or fertility clinics stocks. There's one more. So, Healius, ASX ticker HLS. Do you remember Primary Healthcare?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's now called Healius.
I knew that.
Healius. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why they did that, but...
I think they sold off a business.
That was their primary healthcare business.
Yeah, maybe like a hospital. I think probably, yeah, like a hospital business or something.
Right.
That's me speculating, but I'm pretty confident they sold off a business because after they rebranded, they sold off a business called Healius Primary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Helius, if you read like a Motley Fool, three IVF stocks, which is an article that I did read, they will mention the three that we've touched on, Virtus, Monash, Helius. But with Helius, you have to be careful because I went into its most recent set of results. Here's the breakdown of its revenue by business sector. $700 million from pathology, $200 million from imaging, $40 million from day hospitals and IVF.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a pure play IVF, Helius is not the one.
Well, yeah, the IVF industry could triple.
And it's still not its largest.
But if Helius's pathology business goes poorly, like that's what's going to drive the results.
Yeah.
So you just have to be really careful when you're reading some of those articles about out there about like these stocks will give you exposure to this industry because there's a lot of companies that will have exposure to certain industries, but it won't be a meaningful part of their overall company. And so it's not then going to drive the stock price.
Yeah.
So, but Helius, just to round it out, has four IVF clinics in Australia. So if you look at those numbers, Virtus has 43 globally, 36 in Australia. Monash IVF has 27, the majority of which are in Australia. Helius has four in Australia. And then there's a number of independents, but it's not a massive industry and it's pretty heavily fragmented.
Yeah. So, there is another way to play the industry, Brendan, and that is to invest in the suppliers. Yeah. So, we've got an Aussie-listed supplier called Memphasys. Its ASX ticker is MEM. It created a device called Felix and it sorts sperm by quality and size. Yeah. So, that is one way that you could play this if you wanted to, rather than go direct to the actual IVF centers, you can play the supplier side.
And then in terms of other suppliers, there's like device makers and those health, more general health company suppliers listed in Australia, like the Fisher and Paykel's, or are they listed on New Zealand or Australia? Do your own research.
Should do that, yeah.
But again, it's like what's the percentage of their business that's exposed to this industry compared to just more general health supplies, hospitals, stuff like that. So, Bryce is just looking it up.
It's definitely New Zealand and, yeah, dual listed.
There you go, dual listed. So, that's Australia. There's not a lot of listed companies in Australia. But what you'll actually find is there's not a lot of listed companies globally in this sector.
Yeah.
In fact, I was trying to look for fertility clinics that were listed overseas. I couldn't find anything. And I think that's probably a deficiency of my own research more than the fact that none exist. But the closest I could find was the massive pharmaceutical company Merck, New York Stock Exchange ticker MRK, is investing heavily in fertility treatment centers. But again, I've said it before and I will say it again, as a percentage of their business, how much is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, to continue on the global side, Ren, there are a number of suppliers. So there's one called Progyn.
I'm gonna let you do all of these, and we'll see how Bryce pronounces it.
All right, and I'm just going to do a one-hit one.
One-hit, one take.
All right, so Progyny, the NASDAQ ticker is PGNY. It's an insurance play in the space. Vitro Life, it's listed in
Sweden, I think.
Sweden?
Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm. The ticker is VITR. It's a supplier of key equipment into the industry. Cooper Companies, NASDAQ, COO.
New York Stock Exchange.
Sorry, New York Stock Exchange, COO. It's an equipment supplier as well. Natera on the NASDAQ, NTRA, is involved in genetic testing along with Invitae in New York Stock Exchange, NVTA. Invo Bioscience on the NASDAQ, INVO, treatments for patients with infertility. And then there's Aeterna Zentaris. Its ticker is AEZS and it's listed on the...
I think that's Canada.
Canada, TSE?
I think so.
Yeah. It's involved in treatments for women's health amongst a portfolio of Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, TSA Toronto.
Toronto Stock
that,
Exchange.
That last company, AEZS, it's actually got, you know when the A and the E is like joined together?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's called, but that they've got that in their name.
Okay.
Like, how do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Eterna.
No, like the A and the E together.
Yeah. Anyway, as long story short, there's not a lot of opportunity to invest in publicly listed companies directly in the space.
Yeah, yeah. And because a lot of the companies that you just listed there globally, IVF is part of like a conglomerate approach. Yeah. So I think if you're looking at pure play IVF, you're probably looking in Australia.
Yep.
But again, is the right healthcare play to look at pure play IVF or just more generally on... Are a lot of the factors that we spoke about above applicable for more of the industry, you know, like increasing healthcare coverage and insurance and like all that stuff? So, yeah, like medical breakthroughs. Like those are themes that if we did an industry deep dive on like cancer treatment,
yeah,
a lot of those things would still play.
Yeah.
So they're probably the two key ways to invest in the market. You can look at pure play IVF plays. There are a few. You can look at more like conglomerate approaches that have IVF exposure. If we talk about investing in the industry rather than specific companies, given the fact that there's not a lot of listed companies, there's not any ETFs that we could find that are like a pure play fertility or IVF ETF. Maybe as the industry matures a little bit, that might come into play, but it feels like it's too early really in terms of the scale of listed companies that you need to build an ETF around it. So you're probably looking at investing in individual companies. One other way that you could look at investing in it is looking at the private equity players that are investing in the industry. Some private equity companies are privately listed. Did I say privately listed? Or
yeah.
Some private equity is publicly listed, but again, portfolio approach, like KKR, I'm pretty sure is listed, but if they were investing in IVF, it would be one tiny sliver of a massive business.
Yeah.
So it feels like a pretty unsatisfactory way to talk about investing in the industry. But yeah, I think if you look at the share prices of a lot of these companies, you'll see that I don't want to like say it is or it isn't a good investment. Obviously, we're not allowed to say it is or it isn't a good investment. But the share prices of a lot of these companies tell the story. And the story is that they have not had incredible returns since they listed. They're doing incredible things for couples that want to have kids, but that doesn't make a good investment.
Yeah. Well, Ren, that does bring us to the end of our industry deep dive. If you would like us to have a crack at a particular industry, feel free to hit us up at contact at equitymates.com. We're on all the socials as well. We have a huge list of industries to get through, so happy to add yours to that, and we will slowly make our way through it over the next decade of podcasting. But also a reminder that Equity Mates, everything we do here is free. We do have 5 shows, and one way that you can really help us out is by leaving a review and a rating on the podcast app that you're using, if it's possible. We would certainly appreciate 5 stars. If it's anything less, just take it up with us directly. We do try and respond to all feedback and appreciate it in all the ways that you send it. So please keep the feedback coming. We love giving a shout out to those that do leave a review. And this one came from Lofty Big Chopper. He says that he's glad we have finally gone podcasting full time. Hopefully it means that we'll be sticking around for a while. He loves the banter and all the advice on which stocks to pick, although he's only kidding because we know it is general in nature.
To be clear, he wrote that in the review. That wasn't Bryce adding that at the end.
Yes, yes. But thank you to Lofty Big Chopper. Leave us a review. It certainly does help. Don't forget to check out our other shows, Comedian v. Economist, Meet, Pay, Love, You're in Good Company, and Get Started Investing. Plenty going on here at Equity Mates Media. We're having a great time. And again, any feedback is always welcome. So, Ren, we will leave it there.
Yes.
Don't forget the live show down in Melbourne. We've also got a continuation of live shows, the industry all access industry deep dives with Stake here in Sydney. Too much to talk about. So keep your eyes on our socials and emails and we'll keep you updated.
Nice one.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media.
All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.